Okay, so what I'll be describing today is some work that we've done in my lab. Actually, a couple of years ago, we've been looking at some of the impacts of pacobutazole, so kind of following up on some of the earlier discussions here. I want to right off the bat acknowledge Dana Ellison. She's my research technician, been heavily involved with this project over the last few years. We had some discussions earlier on about the use of pacobutazole. In that case, they were looking at herbaceous perennials or shrubs. And in this case, we're looking at use of pacobutazole on trees. So whenever we use a plant growth regulator on trees, instead of talking about PGRs, talk about TGRs. Okay. And lots of press out there, you're seeing lots of advertisements, things like that, for arborists to get involved with the use of TGRs. What do these things do? Well, what we're mainly talking about when we talk about plant growth regulators used in trees, of course, there are lots of plant growth regulators out there, but most of the work that's been done on trees has focused in on GA inhibitors. Okay, and so what we're looking at here are compounds, particularly pacobutazole, that is going to inhibit either synthesis or action of GA, so reducing cell division and expansion, controlling growth of trees. Why we want to do that? A lot of the work that's been done on tree growth regulators really has stemmed from the utility arborist industry. So for utility arborists, of course, one of their main concerns is trees getting into power lines, causing power outages. Their business is uninterrupted power, right? Arborists, utility arborists get a lot of knocks, you know, for some of the work they do. Their job is to keep the power flowing, right? So they have to trim trees around these power lines. It's expensive, takes a lot of labor. It's also very dangerous. A couple of years ago in Michigan, we had 6 utility arborists that were killed over the course of a year. So it's dangerous work. So anything they can do to reduce the need for that is certainly something that's going to be to their advantage. One of the big studies that was done on this, kind of reflecting some of the earlier discussions here in this session, there was what's called a PICO study, I think it was the Pennsylvania Elective Co-op, where they looked at tracking trees over 10 years, where they treated red maples and silver maples with different rates of, in this case, soil-applied pacobutazole, and then looked at the amount of trimming and chipping time it took, okay, at the various level of treatment or not treating the trees at all. And they found pretty substantial savings in terms of labor. This is looking at the amount of chip time and trim time, about 76, the right-hand column there, about 76 to 80% reduction in the amount of time for chipping and reduction in pruning for those trees. So we've got a pretty good body of knowledge. This has gone on for about since the 50s that a lot of this work has been going on. So we have a pretty good body of knowledge relating to the effect of particularly pacobutazole on trees in arboricultural applications. The other thing that's become clear from dozens of studies is that application of pacobutazole has to be species specific. So this is adapted from the Cambistat label. We work with the product. There's several formulations of pacobutazole out there for arborists. Cambistat, Profile, Shortstop, all the same active ingredient. But the thing with all of these is the rates have to be species specific, and then they're adjusted based on the size of the trees. So when you look at this, sweet gum up at the top, sweet gum, in some of the early studies, they had 95% reduction in shoot growth of sweet gum. Okay, these things get a whiff of the stuff and they'll quit growing. So they're very sensitive. And then as you work your way down, things like conifers, pines here, tulip poplar, are less sensitive, require higher doses. So we worked with, in our study, we worked with honey locust and we worked with a calorie pear, both of which are down towards the bottom of this list, trees that take a fair bit of dose to get a response in terms of controlling growth. So we know that pacobutazole is effective at controlling growth, keeping trees out of power lines, keeping trees in place. The other thing we've been seeing a lot of in the literature is some of the secondary benefits of applying pacobutazole. So when we look at this, There are other things that pacabutrisol may be doing when we look at its application in trees. One of them is improved disease resistance. And this is not too big a stretch. It's a triazole, so it's very closely related to a lot of fungicide compounds. Pacabutrisol itself does not have fungicidal properties, but it's considered to be fungistatic. So it'll slow the growth or slow the development of fungal pathogens. Okay, so improved disease resistance, improved water relations. We've seen changes in defensive chemistry, increased allocation to roots, increased chlorophyll concentration. This is seen fairly often, the fact that when you treat trees with pacabutrisol, the leaves look greener. Okay, so we've seen that, as well as effects on various aspects of leaf morphology. So a lot of this is based off of research either in container-grown trees or things at hort farms or fairly controlled settings. What we want to look at is how does this behave sort of in the real world, if you will. A lot of this information has made it out there through various sources, and so a lot of arborists and these companies are also marketing this stuff. Okay, so we're going to slow the growth of your tree and make it healthier. Okay, does that really happen? And so we want to try to look for some justification or some basis for some of these types of claims. And so that's kind of the background for the study that we've been working on. And so what we're really interested in is, can we use pacabutrisol to mitigate stresses in urban street trees? I think everybody agrees that urban areas are tough places for trees to grow. And so anything we can do to kind of help them along and let them live a long and healthy life is certainly desirable. So what we looked at specifically was trying to determine the effect of pacabutrisol on leaf and shoot growth. SPAD chlorophyll index is kind of an index of vigor. Okay.
Come up to the microphone.
Oh, I'm up to the microphone. Okay, up to the microphone. I'm a mover and a talker, sorry. We're also interested in leaf gas exchange, net photosynthetic rate, as well as water relations, looking at leaf water potential. Okay, study was done in Lansing, Michigan. So if you know your Michigan geography, we're right here in the middle, lower part of Michigan. On two sites, we worked in a site on downtown and an area known as Old Town in Lansing. Here's our downtown location. This is mostly along Michigan Avenue, so kind of a main thoroughfare. Some of these trees you see in the picture here were part of our study trees. We also worked in Old Town, so this is an area, as the name implies, older part of town that's been kind of the centerpiece for some economic revitalization, where they're trying to develop some businesses down there. Lots of festivals. There's Blues Fest, Jazz Fest, everything goes on down there in Old Town. So an area that we want the trees to be looking their best down there. So what we did on this, always a challenge when you move from, you know, the hort farm or the lab out into the real world. What we did was we went out, we have to work with the trees that are there. This was never a planned experiment. We're working with the trees that are there. And so what we did was we measured all of the trees in the area that they let us work in, sorted everything by size. So within a location and species, we sort by size, pick trees that are, two trees that are roughly the same size. Those are paired plots. One gets treated, one doesn't. Okay, worked our way through that. All of the treatments were applied in summer of 2013. Everything was applied as a soil drench using Cambistat based on the product label. Okay. We scored the trees for phytotoxicity 2013. We didn't see any. The table there just shows you the breakdown of the trees. So we had the two sites, downtown, Old Town. We worked with honey locust and we worked with pear. We were most heavily represented with the pear down on the downtown site, and then we augmented that with the honey locust and the pears at the other location. So SPAD measurements, it's obviously not a honey locust nor a pear here, but just to show the instrument there, chlorophyll content index with SPAD. We also did, and we did that for both the pear and the honey locust. For our leaf water potential, we did that for both species, already down to 5. Okay, for the gas exchange, we did that only for the pear just because of the leaf area implications on that. Won't talk much about the weather patterns. Pretty typical years, the 2 years we did it for our area, kind of periodic rainfall with some droughty periods in between. The most consistent thing we found is that for both years and for both species, that we have an increase in SPAD index with the paclobutazole application. And so when you're looking at any pair of bars there for the honey locust, for the cowrie pear, you see about a 5 or so unit difference in SPAD. If you've not worked with SPAD, about 3 to 4 SPAD units about the time you start seeing a visible difference. So these leaves would be noticeably greener if you were looking at them. So we're seeing some increase in chlorophyll content, okay, with the paclobutazole application. Part of this is likely related to the fact that we have smaller leaves. So when you look at this for the cowrie pear, you see that we've reduced the leaf size both years following the application in 2013. Gas exchange looks like a relatively small difference there across the dates with the paclobutazole on top there in the red for our pear trees, but it's enough that when we look at it across the date, that is a statistically significant increase in photosynthetic rate, perhaps related to the improvement in nutrition that we saw, chlorophyll content that we saw with our SPAD. Not as clean in the Old Town, fewer trees, more variable trees in size and everything else. So we can't say it always improved gas exchange, but certainly did on the downtown site. Switch my colors around here on this one. This is our leaf water potential data. So this is a negative megapascal, so the higher numbers on the top means less tree stress. And so in the second year in particular, we saw that on a lot of the dates, we're getting improvements in moisture content with the paclobutazole application having higher water potentials. Okay, so just to kind of wrap this up then, what we saw was that there is some evidence that paclobutazole can mitigate tree stresses in kind of a real-world setting. Certainly we saw that it consistently reduced leaf area and increased the SPAD chlorophyll index. So you have greener leaves, higher chlorophyll content. In some instances, we saw that it did increase the water potential and also gas exchange rates. So there's some benefits there. So what's the implication for this? I would say that arborists and landscapers can use these TGRs as a means to augment other stress mitigation techniques. So, you know, mulching, supplemental irrigation, I think are still our tried and true and the things we need to rely on. But certainly there is the ability to provide additional stress mitigation through the application of these compounds. So we certainly don't want to disregard the obvious, good site selections, matching species to site, all of those things, but these TGRs certainly have a place. My cap be fine. So that's where we'll wrap it up. So just to acknowledge, we got a lot of help from City of Lansing. We're fairly certain we weren't going to hurt their trees, but I had not worked with these things before, so that was good to know. Rainbow Tree Care Scientific Advancements, they provided some product in the form of Canvastat and also some technical advice on the project. And then Rachel, Nicole, and Devin were the student helpers out there schlepping the pressure chamber and the Lycor up and down the streets of Lansing in the heat of the summer. So with that, I will take any questions you all might have. Yeah?
Your data is all collected in the summer, so you may not have been out there looking at the trees in the spring. But I'm wondering if you saw or noted any impacts on flowering of either of these species.
No, I can't. We didn't take a look at that yet. We were focused mainly on the stress responses during the summer. Yeah?
Did you do any sort of economic benefit analysis or anything like that? Like, how is the cost of the product?
It would be difficult. I think in this case, it would really have to be a long-term thing. Probably you'd have to look at the survival over long-term. Because with this soil-applied paclobutazole, really the effects can last. The data show past studies can last up to 5 years. So it's a one-time application. Hopefully I pointed that out. It was a one-time application in 2013. So the earlier study he was talking about was TrimTech, a fully applied. So you'd have to look at that one-time application. In this case, we're not necessarily saving labor, we're just trying to keep the trees healthier. So.